Now we're live again.
Alive.
I think we're live. Okay. I see little squiggly lines, so I'm hoping it means we're live.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
You're very meek right now.
No.
Come unto me. I will give you rest.
It's because I got coffee in my system and I'm ready to like take off.
Just oh. Like take you off. Know, I want to ask you a question. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You did all that track and field, right? Yes. That was your thing, right?
Yes, it was.
What was your event? What was your
long distance?
You were the, what did they call
mile.
It?
Mile.
Yeah, but what that was called, they had a name for that event. Can't remember what it was called.
I don't know.
I know. It's been a long time.
You're right.
It's been a long time.
Over 30 years.
And right.
I love the mile run.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like...
Like you're breezing.
I wasn't a fast runner. I wasn't a sprinter.
Right.
For some reason, even now, my body needed to warm up.
Uh-huh. That was just a good event to do it.
It was just a good event, and I was very good at it. Mm-hmm. I used to run a lot all the time, in a way. Even before the school recruited me, and basically my friends recruited me and talked the coach into bringing me to the team, I used to run all the time. I ran in our neighborhood. I would run, just take off running. And I would run, just run. I loved to just run, the freedom of just running and being out in nature. One time I was at the gym because we had to do it's called PT, physical training.
Can you put that cup on that paper or get that little spongy thing over there? Sorry about that. It's on the table.
I can hold it. I don't. So
I do. It's a houseboat. It's a houseboat. The password is the password
really
online is going to be changed tonight.
Yes, it will be tonight.
Okay, we're back again.
You never
after
know.
I divulge the top secret codes to the nuclear missiles.
Ten years from now, someone's going to come looking for free internet. They have free
man, internet. In 10 years, I won't have enough strength to fight them. I won't have enough strength to change the password, let alone care about it.
Right. That's funny.
Yeah. That's so. Because now I got to stop again. There's going to be no rhyme or reason.
No rhyme or reason to what we're talking about.
You know, what kind of crazy show is this?
It's called leadership.
It's called leadership?
It's called leadership. Pastor.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Pastor really, I really enjoyed.
I was happy for him today.
I really enjoyed that Bible study tonight.
Did a
and
good job.
Because he made a lot of comments. The one that hit me the most is when he read, "Look unto yourself." That really
kind of hit home.
That hit home for me because that's what I've been, you know, ever since Sunday night preaching that message that self control. I've been trying to look at my own actions, looking at what I do, not focus on. And I know as preachers we're called to focus unto Jesus, the ultimate finisher of our faith. But when you deal with other people, that's what I was talking to the sister we was talking when you walked up, we was talking about. We make this, we say, I want to walk in the other person's shoes to understand.
Walk
me.
A mile in the other person's shoes.
Yes. But do we really do that?
No.
Do we really look at that? Or do we look at them through our shoes? Well, this is what I do. Like, come on. Like, this ain't hard. Why is this so hard for you?
Yeah.
I've done that. You know how we say that, make that comment. I've done that, been there, done that.
Got the t-shirt.
Where's the compassion in that, though?
Mm-hmm.
where's the understanding? Mm-hmm. Where's the grace? And he was talking about the grace mm-hmm. and the mercy of God. I mean, it was a great Bible study because it reminded me there was a mm-hmm. reason my wife got up. I mean, I was going to go. And I was going to go to this event.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her last night, I didn't tell her as you're required to go with me. But when she asked, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the event. She said, I'm going too.
Mm.
You know, it wasn't that I didn't go, well, you need to be there because you're my wife. But she saw it as, I need to be there because I'm your wife and I love these people too.
Mm-hmm.
As a leader, sometime you just don't think we think people, okay, let me slow this down. This coffee got me. I'm wired right now.
Okay. I can't tell, but go ahead.
As a leader, you must lead yourself. Mm. You must look at what you're doing instead of focusing on what everyone else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get off, it'll throw you a loop.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you need to go somewhere, and you're like, well, everybody else is not. Why is everybody else not getting ready? Why is everybody else not, you know, taking this as serious? Because they're not. It's not their vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's your vision.
Yeah, but part of the job of a leader is to be able to get people to see your vision.
Yes. But you cannot get discouraged when they don't see your vision. You have to have that patience and understanding as a leader because you don't get it sometimes. You don't know what they're going on in their head, in their mind, and their desires, and their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Because people... they're different. They process things. And this is...
Well, would you be able to... This is something that I've thought about, and that is, could you say that maybe the reason why is because you don't have a big enough vision for... So let me put it this way. Listen, let me just put it this way. So, like, you know you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know you got to make it to heaven,
mm-hmm.
right? You know in your heart of hearts that you have one mission in life. That's to get the glory yourself, right?
Correct.
Is it maybe possible that because of a lack of maturity, because of a lack of, you know, because you're at a certain place in your relationship with God, that maybe that vision doesn't extend beyond you, right? It's just, you know I got to make it. I know I got to do this, right? I know I've got to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
But when does it come to the place where, that is so weird, half right, of it's on and half of it's off, and I'm watching it go half on and half off on the recorder.
Okay.
So that means that something's wrong here between all of this.
Okay.
And that's not good. Yeah, because I only see one guy lining up right now. And that's not good.
Okay.
Stop for a second. Some kind of interference.
Sometimes you can. Even if it have the insulation on there, you can still get some...
Yeah, some kind of interference, sure, absolutely.
Between the two. So
vision, having a vision and
trying to
share that vision with other people, or are we sharing it with other people, or how well are we communicating it, or what is our level of maturity in the vision or whatever?
Correct.
Maybe some people only got enough vision to get themselves to heaven.
It's true.
Maybe some people got enough vision to get other people to go to heaven. Maybe some people, but then again, it goes to the other thing. The Lord said he'll build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So it's really not. So we get all involved in this, like trying to be involved and doing stuff. And it's like, God's already doing his business.
And that's my point. Everything you're saying is my point of like looking to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What is your responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
What is your part?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we're trying to do other people's parts. and we're getting involved in doing their other people. We've talked about this. This is not a new conversation you and I have had about getting involved in people's life mm-hmm. and trying to make it easy for them and trying to make the pressure go away, turn down the heat when God's allowed the heat to go up. And I think, and I don't know, this is for me. And like, again, looking to myself to be the leader in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting, okay, my wife and I was dealing with someone and trying to be careful how I say this. They have this ability to tell mm-hmm. people what they should be doing.
Okay.
But they themselves don't do it. But they know that they know this is what this person need to be doing. Mm-hmm. But I can't do it because I got this going on and this is going on. But they're able to tell other people what they need to do.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Like, you know what the right thing to do is, and you can tell other people what to do, but when it comes to, like, doing it yourself?
Can't execute it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they... I don't want to say they can't. They mm-hmm. don't. And that's where I'm starting to look at myself, like, are you executing it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing it? You're saying that this need to be done, but is that being executed in your life? You're so concerned about them executing it. What about you? Mm. What can you muster up the energy to do it?
Mm-hmm.
That's easier saying than doing it.
Yeah, you know, that's something that has taken me a long time to learn in life, and that is it's easy to find fault with other people, mm-hmm. but like when you start actually trying to change things in your life, you know, and actually do whatever you're supposed to do, then you're like, oh, wait a minute. And this is harder than I thought it was.
It is hard. It is hard.
Right.
And that's where my wife gave me a message today.
Mm.
And we was talking about it. The title, Inside Job.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inside job. I don't know what we was talking about, but it deals with the only reason why they got away with that bank robbery because it was an inside job. I think that's the same way with salvation. It has to be an inside job. It has to start, or a vision,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. It's got to start on the inside.
That's interesting. So that, you know, that brings the point to the fact that we're really not the leaders. Jesus is the leader. And Jesus is going to lead people, and they're going to either follow him or not. One or two.
Right. But it has to be still, in order for you to follow Jesus, it's got to be inside of you. Whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
it cannot be a motivation from the exterior part.
Right.
That only lasts for so long.
Mm-hmm.
As I told that man today that I was talking to, I said, it's got to be inside of you. If it's not inside of you, it's not going to grow. You're only going to be motivated by the exterior things. But when the exterior things are gone, then what are you left with?
Mm-hmm.
You're left with, well, where they're at? Where did they go? Why did they, same thing with, even with pastors. Pastors don't understand. You can't let that congregation depend on you. You got to help them to depend on God.
Mm-hmm.
Because one day, you're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing that lasts forever.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have Jesus on the inside, what good is it? If you feed him, it's same thing. You give a man a fish or you teach him how to fish.
Mm-hmm. It's all good.
And my bad.
That's no,
my
there ain't phone. No bad.
She grabbed we're it. Good. Anyway. And I'm trying to focus on the inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
You, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing that to go inside of you and cultivating the different things, pulling the weeds out of your own life,
mm-hmm.
taking care of this, taking, and not, well, nobody else is planning, no one else is soul winning, no one else is doing anything, nobody else. Why it's so easy to focus on other people, what nobody else is doing, what you think they mm-hmm. shouldn't be doing. Let me put it like that.
Mm.
We look at people and we go, well, they're not doing that. Okay, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Are you watering the grass?
Mm.
Because if you don't water the grass in your own life, who's going to water it? Pastor Davis used to have this saying, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody takes care of you like you will.
Mm.
And if you don't do it, who knows you better than you? Who knows? Sometimes we were waiting for this, I don't know, appeal or somebody to come up with an idea that is going to revolutionize our life and turn, make everything so easy for us.
Yeah.
And we're going to arrive. Somebody's going to come along. They're going to say the right thing to us. And we're going to have this scheme.
Epiphany?
A scheme that is going to make us bypass all the things that we need to do in our life. This scheme is going to, we're going to put it into place, and we're not going to have to have self-control. We're not going to have to put ourselves in order. We don't have to do it. We're just going to implement this scheme, and everything's going to work.
Mm.
It's not the way it happens. Okay,
so I have a question regarding this,
mm-hmm.
right? So if we're constantly on this uphill, correct me if I'm not understanding you correctly, but if we're constantly on this mission to arrive ourselves,
mm-hmm.
how are we going to get other people to do whatever needs to be done?
You want me to answer that?
I'm just listening to what you have to say.
We can't.
Okay, so then the question is, where's the leadership come in?
The leadership comes in with you,
uh-huh.
yourself,
uh-huh.
arriving. You're right. There's that constant trying to make yourself better. That constant trying to do your best, be the better mm-hmm. than yesterday. The leadership is in you going forward. The leader is ahead, in front.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're being in front.
Right.
You're leading.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership is not in the back pushing people. You're pushing. You're not leading. Where are you leading them to? Because if you're pushing someone, they're just going wherever, you know,
mm-hmm.
they want to go. You're giving them the motivation. You're enabling them to move mm-hmm. forward.
So maybe part of being a leader is being able to help people realize how they can self-motivate themselves.
Again, they have to see something in you that they want in themselves
mm-hmm.
and through the power of God or motivation or whatever to make that cultivate. Again,
you know this is interesting what you're saying. Everything that you're saying is interesting. I think I can see how you're kind of swimming around this thing and trying to understand it yourself. And same here.
Mm-hmm.
But first off, these are things I know, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I know that since we're talking about Christianity from the perspective of Christian leadership, mm-hmm. I guess. First off, I have a testimony. I have mm-hmm. an experience,
yes.
right? I have an experience.
Yes.
And my experience may not necessarily be 100% like everybody's experience, but it's pretty much similar to a lot of people's experiences. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I have certain idiosyncrasies and stuff that God works with or whatever.
Correct.
But in general, it's pretty much a similar experience. So when I first came to a church where the Spirit of God was at, correct, this is number one. I'd been to many churches. Mm-hmm. I'd been to many churches. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the Spirit of God was ever in any of them. Okay. It didn't mean that they didn't have the Bible. It didn't mean that they didn't have information about the gospel, right? Didn't even mean that they might not have even been sharing the gospel, right? But as far as the Spirit of God was concerned, it just wasn't there. There was no Spirit of God. So when I came to this church, you know, there was literally, I've said this before, it almost felt like someone was sitting next to me. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying physically, but it just felt like somebody was there and they had their arm around my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And they cared, mm-hmm, and they're and it was like, look, I just care about you. I'm not trying to beat you up. Mm-hmm. I just want you to, you know, see things the right way, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was a spirit there that, yes, that was literally guiding me.
Correct.
And it was like point things out in the message and make things in the message,
correct,
you know, relate to me, mm-hmm, right? And it and I never had like an affinity for the preacher, like it was, oh, it's this preacher, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was more like God's using this man to, mm-hmm, speak to me.
Correct.
Okay, and the, and obviously you respect the man because God, he's, you know, he's allowing himself to be used by the Spirit of God.
Correct.
But at the end of the day, you know,
correct,
it's all about God. It's not like I'm listening to this man and he just happens to have the right message or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like I recognize that God's involved in this, mm-hmm, whole process,
right?
Right, and that God's dealing with me. Mm-hmm. And that if I make a decision, mm-hmm, about all these things that are going on in the midst of all this stuff that's going on, mm-hmm, that I'm making a decision in relationship to God.
Correct.
Not to this preacher and this message and this whatever's going on.
Correct.
Now, that doesn't absolve, you know, a preacher from knowing the Word of God, yeah, and from preaching, oh, the Word of, yeah, God, and, yeah, you know, but the Spirit of God was the thing that totally changed everything, that totally changed the entire equation,
correct,
right? And so I did, for a long time, and I'm not saying this is right, but, you know, as a young Christian, for a long time, you know, my attitude was, I'm not following you, I'm following God or whatever, right? And I kind of had this kind of, you know, I'm here because God is, you know, I'm following God. Now, that probably wasn't the wisest thing to say, but, you know, as like in reference to, you know, respecting the pastor, you know.
Correct. Okay. Yes.
And I did respect the pastor, but I would say things dumb like, oh, I'm, you know, sir, it's not about you, it's about me following,
yes,
God.
Yes.
You know, that,
yes,
that's not the wisest thing to,
no,
do. But anywho, the point I'm trying to make is that in my heart of hearts, mm-hmm, I was like, you know what? If I fail this, I'm not failing these men.
Correct.
Right. And so what would happen is they were in, you know, our church organization, we rotate preachers in certain or, mm-hmm, certain ministries,
right,
they get rotated because it's pretty exhaustive work.
Yes, it is.
And so these pastors would change, mm-hmm, right? And as long as the same God was there, it was never a problem,
right,
because, right, the same Spirit of God was there, the same, mm-hmm, Spirit of the Lord was backing up whatever, you know, was going on there. Mm-hmm. And so then it was never a problem for me to see a new pastor because I wasn't like invested in this man.
Right.
I cared about him, you know. We bought him dinner and we took care of him, mm-hmm, the best we could. Mm-hmm. But you know, I was serving God. And right, if I was helping the pastor, in the back of my mind, it was like, you know, God wants me to do this. Mm-hmm. I know God wants me to do this. Mm-hmm. Right. So I have to wonder if other people have that same experience, right? Because if they have that same experience, they're going to get on board. They're going to, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me, and I don't want to say this like to get the big hit. Okay. So just don't misunderstand what I'm about, mm-hmm, to say. But I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, man, there's just something about your preaching. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. There's something about your preaching. Mm-hmm. And I'll look them straight in the face and I'll say, it's the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. It's not me.
You're making, right, my point. Yes.
You're not. It's not me that you're, yes, listening to. I just allow the Spirit of God,
that's,
to work
it,
through me,
that's
when
it,
I'm preaching.
That's
right.
It. That's it.
And that's not because I'm special,
point,
or whatever.
That's my point.
Okay,
that's
go
my
ahead.
Point. No, because I'm going to tell you, I was 13, 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a church. I was in the church that didn't believe in the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't believe in the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God, to this day, bro, we're talking 40 years ago. Almost 40 years ago. It was the Spirit of God spoke to my heart,
mm-hmm,
and said, look at that preacher.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to be a preacher, look at the way, that's my man. And I could not, consecrate or dedicate myself to God,
mm-hmm,
in that church, because the people in there wasn't given to God. They wasn't given to the Spirit of God. They wasn't given to the, they wasn't allowed the fruits of the Spirit to work in their life. And me as a sinner, bro, I'm telling you, I was looking. Mm-hmm. I knew God has talked to my heart. So I went to one of their brotherhood clubs. And I sat down, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm here. What do you want to do? And all I saw was, well, you didn't pick me up for church. And these are deacons.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I shut it off. I was out. Matter mm-hmm. of fact, I ran out of the church. So I had come to church with one of the deacons,
mm-hmm,
and I walked home. And he said, hey, I can give you a ride. So I don't want nothing to do with that. I was a 13, 14 year old.
Right, you knew something was wrong.
And I knew something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
I knew, I was like, and God had dealt with my heart. You know, in that same church, when I was ready, when my heart was ready,
mm-hmm,
I went up there and I said, Lord, you got to get me out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I have no way. I can't do this. You got to do something. Not too long ago, boom, I'm 3,000 miles away in another country.
Mm-hmm.
And God is like, what? And then I went to this church. Matter of fact, I wasn't even in the church. I knew I got down on my, in a bunk,
mm-hmm,
in the barracks by myself and cried and pleaded with God. I want something different. I need to be saved. Lord, please, Lord, help me, help mm-hmm. me. I cried. And I was there. I mean, I was there by myself. And God did something to me. But he led me to this church, this organization.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, it was different. And it's, you could feel the Spirit of God. It was like, whoa, this is crazy. Different. What I'm saying is, Spirit of God is there to work people in their hearts and mm-hmm. their mind, on the inside.
Right.
But we don't let him. We have to be willing to open, not word. I'm trying to say this right.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many, and you're right. I'm swimming in this. I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's an
exploration.
This is new ground for mm-hmm. me right now, because I'm trying to get better. Yeah, 6 months. I'm trying to what are you trying to show me here? Because I want to be better. And as I told that man, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to the light, which is, he said, walk in the light.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to see these things that, like, you're hung up on. This man today made a statement, I don't have no addictions. I said, really? I think we all have some kind of addiction, something that we're addicted to or too much of. I said, but if you start reading the Bible, you start praying, you start draw closer to him,
mm-hmm.
you'll see that there's some things that we got to work on. And mm-hmm. that's where I'm at, right? I'm at this place where I'm trying to go through this veil Mm-hmm. And they're like, what in the world? Where'd that come from? Why do I have that spot on me? I need to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as a leader of my family, I'm trying to be better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be, not make them, not make my family better, not tell my family that they need to be better. You need to go up and do that, when I'm not willing myself to go up and do that.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get better in God. And I was looking at these men as 13, 14 years. I was looking at these men to show me God, to show me the love of God, the joy, that, and they didn't have it.
Okay.
They didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm lost. I'm like, what is going on, God? Mm-hmm. You're dealing with my heart, but I don't know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that we was talking. You were saying that man, your first pastor, he had the love of God. He had the spirit working in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you were like, whoa, this is different. The spirit has liberty. The spirit, when the spirit doesn't have that liberty to work through you, people don't get changed. They don't see a change. God's dealing with them. But I feel like we have to be open, not to sin, but to God, open to what God's able to do through us. What is the capability that God can use us? I think we talked about it last podcast. So many people want to walk on water.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go into hospital rooms and raise the dead.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't control their attitude.
You know, that's interesting you say that, because, you know, I can recognize just in my life that God can do amazing things, but it's very easy for me to do something that totally thwarts what God's trying to do. Right? And so a good example, going back to the maturity stuff that we talked about earlier, is that, you know, you can get up there and God can work mightily through you. And then you could step down and say some silly joke, and all of a sudden nobody cares about what you've done. It's like, well, he's just the same as me.
He's silly. He's immature.
Right, he's immature.
He's immature.
Or something you wear, or the way you carry your life.
Right.
And I'm not saying that people are looking for someone perfect, but it's easy for the devil to totally destroy any work that the Holy Ghost has done. Just because we aren't willing to
control ourselves.
You said it earlier today on the phone. Put a governor on ourselves.
Yes.
Put a governor on ourselves.
Yes.
You were using that word.
Yes.
And that's what it is that we have to govern ourselves.
We do.
And if we don't do that, then we are liable to damage the work that God is doing to lead people.
Not just to people, to ourselves.
That's of course, I understand
that's
that.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, but I'm trying to take it from the perspective of leadership.
Right.
I'm trying to take
it from that's what we talked about last time. Leadership starts on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it starts. Where are you going to lead them to? Where are you leading them to? You know, are we leading them the right way? Because you can get somebody, you can get anybody to follow you. You can. If you got enough money, we talked about power. If you got power, you can get people to follow you. If you got enough money, for what wrong or right reason, if you got enough money, you can pay enough people to follow you to do what you want them to do.
Okay.
Doesn't mean it's right or wrong, but we're talking about doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the leadership in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it where you know you can sleep at night. There's no, you know, I did the best I could do. God, that's it. I can't do it anymore.
Well, it also rolls into the whole thing that we talked about before about obedience, too.
Mm-hmm.
right? So there's a lot of times where we know that God doesn't want us to do something or be involved in something. It could be as simple as like wearing a t-shirt or whatever with something on it.
Drinking Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I don't, well.
No, I'm just I'm being facetious.
But, you know, you could just, you know, walk out the door and be wearing a certain kind of clothes and no one will ever be able to take you seriously because, right. you know, you don't dress in a manner that brings glory to God.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, as Christians, we have an internal leader, supposed to have an internal leader that leads us. And we have to choose, do we want to follow that leadership? Because, again, I go back to the statement I made. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. I'll make you.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit will make you. Where I'm fighting in, and I'm not proud to say that, is trying to listen to that leadership in my head or in the spirit in my conscience saying, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't act like that. Why are you responding like that?
Mm-hmm.
Because this thing, the flesh, it reacts completely. Don't matter who it is. We get constantly, what's that scripture? We're constantly bombarded by the world and the devil.
At least you didn't say, ask me a question. That's my biggest pet peeve.
And that just, there's a constant, I mean, what they say of the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's constantly bombarding us on our phones, on the radio, on the TV. And the little spirit, just a spirit, that's all for us. You have to literally make yourself listen.
Mm-hmm.
You have, because the world is screaming at us, but the voice of God is just, hey.
Maybe we have too many distractions.
That's, there you go.
Too many distractions.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what would be some of those distractions?
Oh, name them, all of them. I mean, people constantly, they'll pick up their phone.
Uh-huh.
And there's,
hey, I'll be dead honest with you. This is not a joke. You ready? I have like tendon problems in my left thumb. Mm. I'm serious.
Why is that?
Because I pick up that phone and I flick it all day long.
Right.
Whatever I'm flicking, doesn't matter, Facebook, YouTube, whatever, Twitter, or X, or whatever I'm doing, it requires you to use your thumb to move up.
Yes.
And just continue. Oh, shorts. Shorts are the worst. Shorts are the worst.
Right.
You know, and so you could. And, you know, the funny thing is that these are like 15, 30-second videos, maybe 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
And
spend 2 hours
spend 8 hours watching shorts. And then you're looking and you're like, yeah.
Because it's sugar.
Well, they call it dopamine, but whatever. Yeah, I don't want to get into a technical conversation about it.
Right.
Exactly. But I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. But getting that feeling or whatever, right. You know, joke here or something there. Or
because
whatever.
I was talking to you know who on Monday, and she said to me, because I was trying to discuss this event that we went to today, and I was trying to like, you know, these guys, it was just taken over by these teenage boys, and they're cursing and they're using foul language. And she said, what do you expect, OC? That's the world that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're used to. They're used to that chaotic life. They're used to that constant bombarding drama and all that. She said, that is what, and you're expecting them to be different. It's not going to happen.
You know, I just had this thought. This is going to come off like a nuclear missile. OK. okay? But in Genesis, when the people came to attack Lot in his house with those angels,
yes,
they said something really revealing. They said, oh, this man would be a leader amongst us. This man would be, you know, sitting in the gate and, mm-hmm. and, you know, dispense judgment or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they knew he was a hypocrite because mm-hmm. he was in their town.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was just the point that he was in that town alone.
Right.
You know, and right. and they knew his family mm-hmm. and they knew his wife mm-hmm. and they knew what they desired and what they were involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And they mocked him because yes. it's like, oh, you're going to be a judge.
Oh, us.
You're no different. Yeah, you're no different than we are.
Yes.
And now that you think about it, now that I'm thinking about it right now, is that it's so easy for us to, you know, get to a place. We always say, oh, well, we're being led by the Spirit of God. And, and God help us that we are.
Right.
But you get to the place where you are of no value or use anymore. Because you've tarnished your image so much
correct.
That no one can take you seriously.
Nobody takes you serious.
No one can take you seriously.
Right.
And that will totally destroy any ability to lead
man,
people.
After we left, the man called me. He said, I apologize for the situation. This is what he said. He said, understand why you left. He said, I understand. I said, bro, we love you. We love your family. But that's not seducive. I mean, that
conducive.
Right.
Conducive.
Thank you. That the surrounding, it took me back. When I walked in, it took me back.
Yeah.
And it was just a restaurant. It wasn't a club or a bar, uh-huh. but it was a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And that whole environment, she wasn't going to go get out of the truck, but I had to go.
I don't blame her.
You know, it was like, I know, let's go, let's pay our respect, you know, and we'll bounce when we got to bounce. And we did.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew. We did not explain to him. We didn't have to, oh, brother, forgive us. Mm-hmm. We love you. He said, I understand. And he said, thank you for coming.
Amen.
That was it. We have this thing inside of us
mm-hmm.
that tells us. It's called like conscience. Mm-hmm. We sear it.
Yeah.
We sear that.
Yeah.
And God, the Lord wants to talk to us. He does. Why in the world did he put Adam in the garden and come and talk to him every day? Every day in the garden. Whoa, what was that?
You're okay.
Okay. Every day, that's what he desired from the beginning. Every day in the cool of the day, God came down and talked and walked with Adam. Every day. Mm-hmm. Didn't say what they talked about, but he desired that relationship with them. And we have a relationship with everything else,
mm-hmm.
but God. Why is that not the most important time of our life?
Mm-hmm.
We fill it with everything else. Boom, boom, this. I got to do this. I got to do that. The other day, I think it was Monday, we literally, I don't think we woke up to 3 o'clock, or we didn't go out to house. Well, we went out to house a couple of times, but it was just nice, just being there. We were sleeping, we was resting, mm-hmm. we were just, you know. I got up and I read. I mean, what was it? Can't even think of what book it was, but it was one of the books, one of those. It was either Numbers or Deuteronomy or Leviticus. Mm-hmm. One of those chapters where those books where you, but that came alive. That where God was mm-hmm. making promises to, if you obey, I make you the head and not the tail. And I give, when you walk into a place, people will know, and nations will. And I was just like eating that up, like, wow. Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All I have to do is just listen to your voice. All I got to do is listen to your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you telling me if I listen to your voice, I don't have to worry about anything. But it's that easy. We make it so complex. This is, I got to do a certain thing. I got to do the, you know, the risk. You know, if I'm not wearing a suit or, you know, and don't get me wrong. I'm not saying some people need to put on a suit instead of, but it, we make it into a ritual to serve God instead of listening. I mean, this is back and. This is back before they gave the Holy Ghost. This, mm-hmm. But God had given them, wrote it down for them.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote it down for them.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote it down for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't do it.
No, they couldn't do it.
So this is, I guess, you know, now in the New Testament it said the letter killeth. But the Spirit gives life. The Word of God, the Spirit does not deal outside the Word of God. The Spirit of God is not going to tell you something that is going to be against the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times, you know, we're looking for this revelation. God, tell me something. Well, go read the Bible. God's not talking to me. When the last time you read the Bible? I don't know what God wants me to do. When the last time you read the Bible? And I'm trying to get better or get closer, but I can't get closer until I continue. And this is me. I'm continuing trying to get in that word. And it's more alive. I've read it. I've been reading it for 30 some years, but mm-hmm. it seems like it's still, there's stuff popping up like, oh, I read that. I know I read that before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's leadership. I'm sorry.
We're no, way it's okay.
Off.
Yeah,
we're way off. We're way yeah. off. And this is what it, like you said, this is one of those hodgepodge.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not what I wanted, but you're here and once you express yourself, I guess.
You're not trying to control this. Usually you rein me in because I'm way off tangent. But I'm trying, what my point is this. Being a leader, I guess, you have to have that self control, motivation, that inward, because even David, he had to encourage himself.
Uh-huh.
You cannot let them see, you said it last podcast, let them see you sweat. Let them see that.
Oh, yeah, you're cracking.
I don't know what God, sometime as a leader, you just don't have the answer. You just don't have the answer.
Right.
You just don't. You.
Well, you don't have, you don't, you know, you don't have the answer for like a specific question, but really what's at the core of it is it the right question, right? Is it the, sometimes we encounter questions or situations. And they, you know, situations that present questions or whatever. And people are like, well, what's the answer to this? And maybe you don't need an answer for that.
Right.
Right. I mean, Jesus was really good at that. Mm-hmm. Jesus was like, people would ask him stuff. He wouldn't even answer what they were saying.
Writing down on the ground.
He would cut to another totally different conversation that he was like, you don't need that conversation.
Right.
You know, that's not important.
Right.
Right, and he wouldn't even entertain it. He wouldn't even entertain those questions.
Right,
and so real leadership isn't just being able to answer questions. Real leadership is being able to know whether or not the question even deserves to be answered.
Right,
right. It's like even if you do have the answer to it,
but and that's what I'm saying, is sometimes we as leaders, we think we need to have the answer right now. And that makes us less than a leader. But I'm saying have control enough to know who you are and that you don't have to answer.
Not only
that.
To know who you are, but to know who God is.
Right. Right?
And to know
right.
that you are working within the correct realm with him.
Yes.
Right? It's like, look, yes. I'm operating God. God hasn't told me something. No. You heard this from other men of God. It's like, God hasn't told me anything about that. Right?
Right.
And you know, people get offended. Like, yes. Oh, God talks to me too. No, God doesn't talk to you.
I literally hear, I had someone tell me, they said, well, brother, what are you going to do? I'm like, well, I remember Pastor David said that God told him when he had that problem to do such and such. Why do you know? I'm like, okay.
That's weird.
I'm not pastor.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird that person would get involved like that.
That's what I'm saying. And we allow situations, circumstances.
Like, I already know it's another brother, another minister.
No.
No.
And they're not a minister.
Well, they do Reverend Davis, but
yeah, they've been around the organization for a while.
Yeah.
But
I'm not asking who it is. I'm just saying that I know this is coming from somebody who knows better.
So as a leader, those arrows shooting at you,
yeah,
you have to put up the shield of faith.
Oh, there you go.
You have to put up the shield of faith. How you like how I pulled that out?
Yeah.
Like the shield of faith to take those arrows coming in.
Right. Well, aren't you supposed to like take each one down and examine it
no.
and decide whether or not no. it's something that needs to be
no.
addressed? Or,
no.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
No.
You just hold up a shield and just like get this garbage out of my way.
Because you know what God is doing. You know God is. You got to give.
I don't think people are being bombarded with darts. I think some people just sit on the dart box and just enjoy themselves.
I think a lot of people just want to sling darts and see if you're going to respond to it, because they themselves don't have the answer, so they're shooting at you, thinking,
"Yeah, that's because they're sitting on a box of darts themselves."
Right, but you're trying to go there. I'm not trying. Just having that faith that God's gonna work it out. He's working in you. He's trying to make that leadership in all of us.
Well, his first goal is to get us into heaven. That's the first goal.
Right.
Right. The secondary goal is to get us usable.
Yes. Yes. Right. First, right. And you got to be saved. You have to be saved.
First off, he said, even Paul would talk about that. Even I have to make sure I'm saved first.
Right.
Then I can come along and minister to other people.
Right. And that's two different things. It really is two different things. A lot of people,
you mean they're conflating them or putting them together?
A man, and I know.
You got 7 minutes.
Okay, good. Because a man said to me, very good brother of mine, love me. I love him. Can't believe we've known each other since kindergarten. It's like it's a fresh friendship for us. Like we've known each other for 30-some years, and it's still like this is a fresh friendship. He said to me, he said his pastor, when he got saved, said, Michael, you can't clean the fish until you catch it. You can't clean the fish until you catch it. So many times we're trying to get holy, and we're not even saved.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have a relationship to God, like where he's done, we're born again, he's saving these things out of our life. He has to do it. He's got it. But, I got to get a suit on. I got to shoot. Yeah, what is all that? Paul said, I preach to others, I'd be a castaway.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul meant it more because he had been saved. And he was saying he was trying, but again, there's so we get so wrapped up in trying to do the work of God. instead of focusing on, hey, where am I still called? Pastor was, I'm telling you, Bible study was so great.
Mm-hmm.
Are we in the race ourselves? It's easy to cheer from the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Is he, yeah, we can do
and
it.
And you know what's
we
amazing about we that Bible study?
What's that?
Was that wasn't his intention, and those things that he was saying weren't necessarily intended
the way
it was. God took what he said. See, and again, it goes back. Here's a man
who leader.
Yes, he's a leader. Yeah, I don't deny that. But the point I'm trying to make is that in any feebleness that he may have, God still backs him up. God still backs him up.
He's the pastor of the church.
Right.
He's the pastor.
And everyone runs around saying, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. It's like, dude, man, God a chance.
Yes, my point.
Yeah, give God a chance.
That's my point.
Right, because it's not like we're some kind of church that doesn't have the Spirit of God. Because the thing is that there's people don't understand this,
mm-hmm.
and that is especially if they've never experienced being in a church with the Spirit of God.
Right.
There's plenty of churches out there.
There's
plenty of people out there talking about Jesus. Right. You see them all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of people who are serious about what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and there's plenty of people who may even have the right message or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you what. Most of these people do not have the Spirit of God, and therefore they can't understand how God can take some situation where someone's struggling or whatever, but because they paid the price, because they stood the test, because mm-hmm. they've, you know, went and did everything that God told them to do that they knew.
Right.
That
right.
God says, I'm going to back you up in these last days.
Right.
I'm going to make up the difference.
Correct. Correct.
Right? I'm going to make up the difference.
Right.
My Spirit is going to make up the difference.
Correct.
Right? And a lot of people, they're all sitting around there saying, well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen?
They're worried about something.
And it's like, hey, God's already proven that he's got this man backed up, right? God's already proven that he could go up there and say mashed potatoes and cream cheese, and all of a sudden everybody would be going up to the altar and praying, right?
Because you can. That young man that came, he's trying to do the Bible study and trying to do the, and he's, you know, and he was like, well, and I think he told the brother, he said, I need something. I need to be encouraged.
Yeah, and where did he go to get it?
Hello.
Thank you.
He said,
people know who's right and who's wrong.
Right.
They do.
Right.
The reason the people walk away is because
they don't
want to commit.
That's it.
They don't want to commit. And it's not committing to us.
No, it's not.
It's committing to God.
Correct.
God has shown himself real. God has told them what to do.
I'm glad you wrapped this up.
Yeah.
Finally,
God has showed them what to do. God has told them what to do.
Yes.
Right? They've come to our church.
Told them.
People walk out of the church. They know what God wants them to do.
God has
told them what to do.
Not us.
And then they were like, that's not good. That's not good. You don't have to listen to that.
Not us.
Yeah. No.
Not again.
Right. I said it last time I preached. I said, look, you cannot listen to me.
You can.
But
you
cannot ignore the Holy Ghost.
Right. Because they... And
he's got free license to your brain.
I told you again. I was 13 and 14 years old when God said, I want you to be a... I didn't understand everything that was going on. I'm looking back now.
Yeah.
I'm looking back. I'm like, wow.
Right. Uh-huh.
That's what you was trying to get in my brain.
Right.
I didn't, and I could, first of all.
You got 1 minute.
I could have used those deacons and said, well, see, I would have been.
There's
a
no God, but there's no real people of God.
I told my wife today, I made this statement.
Yeah.
I said, there's going to be a lot of people that God is do me have dealt with their heart, and they gonna say, well, God, you never told me. I didn't know. Nobody showed me the love. Nobody showed me to understand. And and God's gonna walk me out and say, remember him.
Yeah, but more than that, and I do agree with what you're saying, but more than that, God is always going to be able to say, I spoke to you and you knew it. And you have to answer for that.
And you got to answer for that.
Right.
We got to answer for
that. Yep. Bye.